This is James Jones, Green Bay Packers wide receiver, and you're watching Cheesehead TV.
Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caribou, joined by our live blog director, Jamie Snowden. We're talking some Packers football, and we're talking about this historical decision by Michael Sam to come out and talk about his future in the NFL. To do that this morning, we have a special guest joining us on the line. We have former Packers defensive lineman Esra Tuaolo, who is openly gay. Esra was drafted by the Packers in the second round in 1991. Esra, good morning to you.
Good morning. Aloha. And good morning, Cheeseheads.
We'll get to Michael Sam in a minute here, Esra, but I want to talk about yourself for a moment. Came out after your playing career. Can you talk about your decision to wait until after your career was done?
Well, Brian, we're definitely looking at different times now. Back 20 years ago, when I came into the league, when I got drafted by the Green Bay Packers, it was definitely a different story. It was a lot more difficult, and basically, there was no education on, you know, who I truly was. So there's a lot of, anytime someone would lash out and call someone a fag or a queer or a homo in the locker room, it would kind of be pushed under the rug. You know, in the last 10 years, we've come a long way where, you know, I think education has been a huge part of it. Now, when an athlete comes out or when a coach lashes out, they're held accountable for their words. And also, it's one of those things where knowledge is power. Education is power. The more you educate people on a community or something, you humanize what that is, and exactly what happened.
So now, getting to Michael Sam, obviously his announcement that he's gay is huge news. He'll be the first player in the four American major sports to announce that he's gay while playing. Can you get inside Sam's brain a little bit and get to the timing of it a little bit? Why now, a week before the NFL Combine?
Like I said, we're living in different times. If there's a time for a player to come out, this is definitely the time. You know, the big question is, why did he do it before the draft, and will it hinder his how high or how low he goes? But it's one of those things where, you know, as individuals, I can just imagine what Sam has been going through all his life, because it's the same story that I have. It's the same story that every GLBT person has. Neglecting yourself and not being to yourself is very crippling to an individual. To go into Sam's mind, I think what Sam wanted is just to kind of get it all out there so he didn't have to deal with what I dealt with. And that's someone outing him. Because, Brian, I'm not sure if you know this, but the worst thing you can do in the NFL is to either start a rumor about someone that they're gay, or you out them. You know, it's not like domestic abuse. It's not, you know, selling drugs or anything like that, or getting arrested. It's that. So I think what, you know, Sam, his thinking was just to get it out on the table. And it's one of those things, this is who I am. I'm proud of myself. And, you know, he's not going to have to deal with that crippling secret. And so he's gonna be able to play to the best of his ability, to the best of his potential. Unlike what I went through, because, you know, it was very difficult because of, you know, all the stress and everything that I was carrying along with everything.
Sam is being hailed as a trailblazer. Esra, what's going to be the impact of Sam's decision to come out? Do you think other athletes will be more willing to come out before or during their career? How many dominoes are going to fall?
You know, Brian, the more athletes that we have come out, we heard, obviously it's so much better, because it's not only educating, you know, the community, it's society at large. Definitely he is a trailblazer. It doesn't matter if he goes number one or if he goes the last pick of the draft, Sam will be the first openly gay NFL player to play the game. And not only this, this is what everyone's been looking for, right? They've been waiting for. They've been waiting for like a superstar collegiate athlete to come up to the ranks, or they've been waiting for a superstar NFL player to come out. Wow, what Sam's doing is very historic, and it's one of those things where I'm hoping it will open doors for other players to realize that they can be themselves and play in the National Football League. So hopefully this will open a lot of doors for players that are in the closet and collegiate players that are coming up through the ranks.
With the Winter Olympics taking place right now in Russia, where their government has anti-gay propaganda laws, how much pride do you take in the timing of this decision and the attention it brings to basic human rights and equality?
Right. It's very saddening to see, what's happening in Russia. And, it's one of those things where you, being so far away and seeing all the things that are happening, all the hate crimes that are being committed there, and it being okay, there's a wave of equality coming through, and I'm hoping that things that like Sam's doing, things that people have done in the past, I hope and pray that people will start realizing that being gay does not define who we are. We are definitely, it's one of the things where I think people, they put that label on us or put that label on an individual, and it's supposed to be demeaning. So I don't know. It's just one of those things where to speak on the Russian and what they're going through, it's very heart wrenching. And I just, all we can do from afar here is just to pray and make and hope. That something happens there where, equality will shine.
We're talking to former Packers defensive lineman Esra Tuaolo here at Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central. Esra, being a show about the Green Bay Packers, head coach Mike McCarthy recently said as long as Sam could produce and be a good teammate, there would be a place for him in Green Bay. I've read interviews that say a place like Green Bay with a veteran head coach and general manager would kind of be an ideal landing spot for Sam, where they're better to able kind of the media demands and perhaps distractions. Do you agree with that?
That's the big conversation, right? That's the big, everything's throwing it out. Everybody's throwing that, that he'll be a ginormous distraction. Well, you have players like on the Patriots that just committed, murder. I mean, it's like, you have, people, players getting arrested. I mean, there's always distractions out there, but it's one of those things where I think as an organization, they can come together and manage, the media and manage, what's going on. But the thing about it is like, I don't see Sam. Sam's such a young individual, and he's such a great athlete coming out. What he needs to focus on at this time of his life is his dream and what he's been dreaming about all his life, and that's playing in the NFL like any other young child or young player, has dreamt. And it's one of those things where I don't think he's going to be the advocate. Not yet for the GLBT community, because he's got to stay focused on what he needs to do in his own life. But it is a great thing, because a lot of, it just gives a lot of our younger generation another role model to look up to, and that's what Sam's bringing to the table.
As a former Packers player, people always say it's easier to maybe focus on football in the smallest media market in the NFL. Do you find that to be true, and could that potentially be a benefit to Sam?
I'm sorry, I didn't get that question. You kind of cut out.
But people say that it's easier to focus on football in the smallest media market in the NFL. As a former Packers player, do you find that to be true, and could that potentially be a benefit to Sam?
I think, is there a small market in the NFL?
I don't know.
I don't know if there's, a small, multimedia market, because I think the NFL is, it's the number one. It doesn't matter what team you play on. It's just, the media is there, and it's ginormous. So, to answer that question, it's, I just hope and pray that I would wish that you know teams would just look at Sam as what he is, an amazing athlete. Like, come on, this kid has proven himself in and out in the collegiate world. I mean, it's, you know, he's a All-American. He was SEC Defensive Player of the Year. I mean, it's like one of those things. It's funny, you know, it's funny that we're talking about, you know, the distraction of him being gay, but if he's going to bring something to the table as far as with the team, just look at his stats and look at his highlight film. This kid can flat out play. So wherever he goes, and I think Green Bay would be an amazing place for him, not because of the small market media, but I think he would fit perfectly in that type of defense. You know, that fast out, you know, fast speed defense from the outside, inside. You know, it's just one of those things where I think he would be a perfect fit there.
Let's talk about that for a moment. You know, Sam was a defensive end at Missouri,
right.
But the type who's kind of thought to be maybe perhaps one of those end outside linebacker hybrids in the NFL. You know, as a former defensive lineman, what challenges does Sam face going from maybe a 3-point stance to a 2-point stance?
You know, I think I think he's proven himself again, like I said, in college. And you know, when you get to that pro level, it's definitely a different story. Everything's bigger, everything's faster. But you know, when Sam gets to whatever team that's going to get him, I'm sure they'll adjust and make adjustments when he gets there. But you know, the flat thing is that he can play. The kid can flat out play. And I just hope that, you know, teams will give him a chance to prove himself.
Ezra, before we let you go, you've published a book. I'd like you to tell our listeners how they can get your book, and you're also a public speaker. Can you tell them how they can get in contact with you for speaking engagements as well?
Yes, aloha. Yeah, I do have. I wrote a book called "Alone in the Trenches." There's also a Packer picture on the book, so everybody's happy about that in Packer Nation. But it's a memoir. It's about my life growing up in Hawaii and the things that the difficulties that I had to deal with throughout my whole life and in the NFL. And you know, it's one of those things where the reasons why I wrote the book is the same reason why David Coppé wrote his book, and that's to help people and to save people's lives, because his book definitely did that for me. And they can get it on, online, Amazon, or else they can go to my website, itiswrong.com, and order it from there. They can get a signed copy from me. It's hateiswrong.com. I also do, you know, public speaking. I go around the country and I speak on homophobia in sports. I'll do an anti-bullying program called Sticks and Stones May Break My Bones, But Words Kill. And they can book, I'm booked out of with GTN out of New York City. So Greater Talent Network. And you know, it's one of the things where the second phase of my life where I think it's time, you know, it's my way of giving back to the community and making a difference in this world.
Well, go ahead.
And then also, I have a single out. You know, I mean, I'm not sure if the Packer Nation remember me singing the national anthem, but I have a single out called "Stronger." I just signed with Music Plant Records out of Chicago, so they can go online on iTunes and download that. And it's an amazing song about my life.
Very cool. Can we have your permission? Can we play that on our show?
Most definitely. I would love that. I'll send you all the information.
All right, sounds good. Ezra, thank you so much for joining us this morning, talking about gay issues in the NFL, Michael Sam, everything, and talking football as well. We appreciate you joining us, and thanks a lot.
All right, God bless you guys. Take care.
All right, take care. Former Packers defensive lineman Ezra Tuaolo, joining us on Railbird Central here at Cheesehead TV. Glad to get his perspective on the big news that's dominating the news. Michael Sam coming out, going to be the first player in the four American major sports who's openly gay and playing in the NFL, if indeed he does play, and we assume he will. There's kind of, of course, this, you know, people wonder, is this going to affect him? Is he going to, you know, slip in the draft? Is he going to be drafted at all? As we talk about with so many things here in free agency in the NFL draft. All it takes is one. I don't think, you know, Michael Sam is going to slip out of the draft entirely because, you know, maybe, hey, there is a couple teams out there that may choose to pass on him, but there aren't going to be 32 teams in the NFL that choose to pass on him. He's going to get drafted, and assuming Michael Sam doesn't, you know, suffer a career-ending injury, knock on wood, don't wish that on anyone, he's going to become the first, you know, openly gay player to be open, to, you know, come out of the closet while they are playing instead of after, things like that. So definitely a historical decision there, and very, very interesting. But, you know, getting to Green Bay Packers talk here on the show, you know, yesterday kind of news came down the pike, and what I'd like to spend most of the rest of the episode talking about here, news happened on Tuesday that the Packers have released former, now former Packer, offensive lineman Greg Van Roten, and that's kind of been the biggest news of the week so far. I think it caught a lot of people by surprise from the timing aspect of it. You know, why was Greg Van Roten released, you know, now how many weeks are we after the end of the season when the Packers lost in the playoffs and in mid-January? We're now, you know, what, a month past that time, early January? So, you know, why now? Why did they wait? People kind of thought, you know, Greg Van Roten was not a Pro Bowl player by any means, not even a starter in the Packers offense, but, you know, he was a guy who made the team the past 2 years, coming to the Packers out of the Ivy League as an undrafted player. You'll remember his rookie year in the NFL in 2012, he came to training camp, kind of made an impression, but was cut at the final cut down at training camp. And then eventually, you know, asked afterwards to be on the Packers practice squad. And Van Roten, you know, spent several weeks on the Packers practice squad as a rookie. And then at midseason, a couple injuries happen. All of a sudden, he's elevated. And by the end of the year, I think he took part in 7 games. You'll remember Greg Van Roten even being the occasional kind of extra tight end in certain packages, and you know, he kind of, you thought, oh, here's an up and comer, here's a guy who, you know, might have a future with the Packers. And then this past year, 2013, he makes the team once again, this time coming straight out of training camp, makes the Packers, you know, regular season 53-man roster, and he was actually at the time the Packers' top backup at center, backing up Evan Dietrich Smith. And, you know, I think Van Roten played in 3 games early in the year. And then, unfortunately, not far into the season, something like 5 games in, week 5, something like that, ends up suffering a foot injury and is placed on injured reserve, ending his season. So an unfortunate ending there. There's an interview at ESPN.com, reporter Rob Domofsky, who we've had on the show here before, said that that talked to the agent of Van Roten and said the injury really had nothing to do with the release, saying he actually could have played late last season had he not been placed on injured reserve. So, why did they cut him? You kind of wonder, does it have anything to do, perhaps, maybe, with Evan Dietrich Smith, the Packers starter at the position, who's now scheduled to become a free agent just about a month away here in March? Is there anything, you know, kind of any connection there? And I don't really think there is. I don't think, you know, Greg Van Roten's status had anything to do with Evan Dietrich Smith one way or the other, or vice versa. If you're kind of reading into this as to what, you know, what Dietrich Smith's future is in Green Bay, because I think for one thing, the Packers have you know, sufficient depth for the time being at center, at the center position, which is kind of, I think, where Van Roten was, you know, kind of his primary position, kind of looked at mostly as an interior offensive lineman, although did have the ability to kick out and play tackle if possible. You know, he was a college tackle. I think he went to Penn, if I'm correct. And you know, is in a long, you know, he's another one in the long line of Packers who, you know, they draft college left tackles and then end up converting them to interior linemen once they reach the NFL. They see, you know, tackles as kind of being the most athletic, you know, offensive lineman on any team. But you know, I think they kind of viewed him as a center, and you know, end up playing there in the preseason and things like that. But, you know, I just think they parted ways with a guy they probably didn't like as much as the other centers on the team. The Packers also have on their roster two guys, J.C. Treader and Garth Gerhart. Gerhart spending time on the practice squad each of the past two seasons here. Going back to this article at ESPN.com here, Domofsky talked to Van Roten's agent and saying the Packers want to get bigger. That's what they told him. And Van Roten, a guy who I think is listed at 6'3 and 303 pounds. And, you know, 6'3 is, as far as height, is, you know, on par with, you know, many centers in the NFL, perhaps slightly undersized from a weight standpoint, 303 pounds. You know, maybe you read into that as saying, well, the Packers are kind of going after becoming a better running team. They want to get more road graders on the team. I can see that. I just, you know, think they more so like the other centers they have. And you know, I think even if Evan Dietrich Smith were to leave, you know, the Packers can fall back on J.C. Treader, Garth Gerhart for the time being. But, you know, I don't think they would, you know, sit tight there. They would probably still have to add somebody else in the NFL draft, some sort of center or a player they can convert to center, maybe even a free agent. It would certainly be, you know, dangerous for the Packers to go into the 2013 season, you know, with such inexperienced players. I've said it before, you know, J.C. Treader, he kind of gets a lot of attention because he was a fourth round draft choice, and he never played because, you know, as you remember, what did he do? He broke an ankle in OTAs this past year. I think we're talking the month of May. You know, was on the PUP list all year long, ended up getting elevated to the 53-man roster late last year, but never actually played in a game, was never on one of the game day active rosters when, you know, it's 46 players. But, you know, there's still a lot of potential in J.C. Treader. You know, the ceiling is high for him right now because nobody really knows what he can do. He's never even played in so much as a preseason game, let alone a regular season game. So, you know, there is some danger there as well. And I wrote a column a few weeks ago comparing, you know, that the Packers would be in a dangerous situation kind of, you know, I think going into last year, they were kind of relying on a guy like Jerron McMillan, who also happened to be a fourth-round draft choice. I think they kind of assumed he would take a big jump as a second-year player and never did. And of course, look what happened because of that. The Packers had troubles at the safety situation. Jerron McMillan never panned out, was eventually cut mid-season. The Packers could be in a similar situation with J.C. Treader. Now, I'm not saying he's going to fall victim to the same foibles as Jerron McMillan, but you know, there is a certain, you know, we don't know what J.C. Treader's made of yet. He's another one of those. He came out of the Ivy League, same as Van Roten. He's a fourth-round draft choice. He was a college left tackle, was actually a tight end before he was converted to tackle. And, you know, the Packers saw an athlete and kind of have converted him into an interior offensive lineman they're kind of, you know, publicly they've been unwilling to, you know, anoint him as being, you know, pigeonholed into any position right now. But, it's a little bit dangerous. And then you got behind him Garth Gerhardt, a guy who's just, you know, been on the practice squad for two seasons. He's never played a regular season NFL game before. So, you know, does that signal perhaps Evan Dietrich Smith, the Packers are going to re-sign him? I certainly think Evan Dietrich Smith will be one of the priorities on this Packers team this offseason. You know, kind of a question, you know, how much money is he going to command? Is he going to, you know, shop his services around and get as much money as he can get? I think that's the approach Evan Dietrich Smith's going to take. You know, why not, you know, shop myself to 32 teams and hey, I'll come back to the Packers, but they're going to have to pony up and pay me like a starter. I think that's the way things are going to play out. You know, obviously the Packers want to save as much money under the salary cap as possible, although they want to pay him a fair wage. But what is that? You know, is it $3 million? Is it $5 million? I would say Evan Dietrich Smith's going to get paid somewhere in that range, probably closer to that middle. But, I'm sure he'll try to milk every penny out of it as he can. And you know, the Packers, all this room under their salary cap, it's going to get swallowed up really, really fast. You know, I know there's been a few articles written just recently, was it there in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, might have been Monday, by Tom Silverstein, kind of looking at the salary cap situation of the Packers, looking how they currently have some of the most cap space in the entire NFL. And that looks great. Like, hey, the Packers can, you know, go out and spend some money in free agency. Well, I'll tell you what, you know, after that, there's going to be so much money going to, you know, right away, you have to consider $6 million or so is going to go to signing this year's rookie draft class, the class of 2014. There's about $6 million right there that's, you know, off the board. After you tender your restricted free agents, probably, which Jamari Lattimore will most definitely be tendered, but also perhaps MD Jennings as well. You know, who else are we talking about? Any of the Packers' unrestricted free agents, once they start signing guys like Evan Dietrich Smith, like Sam Shields, like whoever else they might sign, perhaps B.J. Raji, James Jones, all these guys, there's 17 unrestricted free agents. They're not going to re-sign everyone, but they're going to re-sign probably a majority of them, or try to at least. Well, I'm not sure. Tough to say the exact number. But anyway, the money is going to go fast. The money's going to go fast. And, you know, while the Packers might have a lot of salary cap space right now, it's not going to stay that way. You know, it's going to go fast. And I don't know how much room they have to re-sign, you know, everybody from their free agent class. So, somebody's going to walk. A big name is going to walk, whether it's B.J. Raji, whether it's Evan Dietrich Smith, whether it's James Jones, somebody out there, a big name, is going to sign a fairly decent contract with another NFL team. Don't know who it is. How much, you know, money will there be to maybe sign other free agents in the NFL? A safety, perhaps. There's a lot of big name safeties this year between Jairus Byrd, TJ Ward, Dante Whitner. Might the Packers have enough money to go after one of them? I don't know what the answer is going to be. We'll find out. So it'll be interesting to see. And maybe, you know, some of these questions start to get answered next week at the NFL Combine, where both head coach Mike McCarthy, general manager Ted Thompson, kind of meet the media. And you know, you maybe start to see their plan for the offseason, even though they're probably not going to let us into every little intimate detail that's going on behind the scenes at 1265 Lombardi Avenue. Maybe we start to see a plan and where the Packers need to improve and where they're going to focus their attention in free agency and the draft and things like that. So that's what we're looking forward to next week. But that'll do it for today's episode of Railbird Central here at Cheesehead TV. It was great to have former Packers defensive lineman Esra Tuaolo join us on the show on Friday. Next episode, already have a guest lined up. I'm excited about this. We're going to have Wisconsin native and North Dakota State quarterback Brock Jensen, an NFL draft prospect, join us on the show. Brock won three consecutive FCS national championships, three times in a row, 2011, 2012, 2013, national champion at North Dakota State, and a Wisconsin native. He's from Waupaca. We're going to talk to him as he kind of prepares to potentially have a career in the NFL. So I am excited to talk to a Wisconsin native and get his thoughts on the NFL draft and things like that. So that's going to be really cool. So make sure to join us as we do every Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 8:30 a.m. here at CheeseheadTV.com. Make sure to join us. On behalf of Jamie Snowden, I'm Brian Kirvu. We'll see you later, everyone. As I say all the time, stay tuned for your news needs all week long here at Cheesehead TV. I leave you today with a song called Nemo by Humphreys McGee on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack, go.